Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Comfort Level Podcast. I'm Maddie, and I'm here with
Sam.
Still.
Brandon.
Okay, that was, we got to decide in order. Last time we went this way, now we're like ping ponging.
Okay. Yeah. No, okay. I think we'll I like the chaos.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Chaotic okay. evil. You know?
Sam wanting order? That's all right. Weird.
Order.
Wait a minute. What's going on here?
I'm Brandon now, and Brandon's Sam.
I mean, y'all are cousins, so.
So I gotta get us canceled.
Yeah.
No, they love you, Brandon.
And I'm gonna say nice, thoughtful answers that pertain to the topic.
You have a lot of, you have some big shoes to fill.
Okay.
Okay. Am I the asshole for jumping out of the way when my niece and nephew tried to push me into the pool, resulting in them falling in?
No.
This is such a Sam thing to do. Am I right, Sam?
Totally. F them kids.
What, to get out of the way? So you don't get put in the pool?
Yeah.
That's a normal thing to do.
But it's like very Sam core.
I don't know if that's a Sam thing. I think that's a normal human thing.
That's like a reaction thing.
Yeah. Huh? You ain't pushing me in the pool.
Like you are. Oh. Yeah. You miss me.
But actually, when kids get caught into situations that are funny and hurtful, that is a Sam thing to like. So.
All right. Steph, did you have anything to say before I start this?
No, I'm just trying to think of any way that someone would be the a-hole for jumping out of the way. Like, it would had to have been where the kid was really small, like really young.
Couldn't swim.
Right. And they couldn't swim. So, like, then the mom is mad at you or something. Or, like, not the mom, but their parents are mad at you because why didn't you grab them and stop them from falling in the pool? Why
That's
did you
jump crazy. Out of
the pool? That's the only thing I could think of that would be a reason why someone would be the a-hole for not jumping.
Well, I'm like, if you're old enough to push me, you're old enough to drown.
Baby toddler.
Literally. Yeah.
I'm like, he'll learn one day.
You're old enough, baby. Baby, like, crawling, trying to push you. You're like, ugh.
No way. I think you expect them to drown, and then they just start swimming full athlete, and they're just like,
I would freak out if the baby starts swimming.
I know, I would just stay there like, I deserve everything that's coming
doing
after
a butterfly
this.
Butterfly stroke.
My goodness. Wait, did I push in Michael Phelps?
Yeah. Like, this baby, I'm scared if that baby does that.
I'm going to say that this story is either not including enough to just that title, or it's what I had to describe, where it's like, you should have stopped them from jumping in.
They're in, like, suits. It's like Easter.
I guess.
Okay. Am I the asshole for jumping out of the way when my niece and nephew tried to push me into the pool, resulting in them falling in? Happened today. My folks decided to host a barbecue because I guess that's what older people do. I declined because I really don't like my two sisters, their husbands, or their kids. F them kids. Wife and I are child-free.
Wait, hold on. Did he say that in the...
It's yep. very... He's giving very much F them kids energy.
Oh, okay. So okay. I was like, wait, did he actually say that? Like,
no.
This is already off to a bad start then.
I don't know. What's, Maddie's got a special energy today.
Mom then pressured the wife. Long story short, we went. By the time we arrived, there were about 20 people there. My sisters and their husbands were already solidly buzzed. Drunk, really. My mom was spending 100% of her time trying to keep the nieces and nephews, ages 7 to 11, more or less under control. My dad had strategically retreated to the whirlpool part of the pool with a small cooler full of beers. Wife and I made small talk with miscellaneous people, ate food, and had a frozen margarita. Sisters slash brother-in-law took turns criticizing us for being late, not being in our swimsuits, and screwing up the vibe. Whatever. Typical suburban summer get-together. About 45 minutes in, two of the kids ran at one of the neighbor guests who were just standing next to the pool and pushed her in. She was at the pool steps, stumbled in, but didn't fall, so only got half wet. She was clearly very unhappy about it, but she didn't make a scene, just went over to where the parents were, grabbed their towels, and dried herself off and left. Sisters and brother-in-law thought it was all great fun. A bit later, I was standing a few feet away from the pool, chatting away with somebody. I saw three of the kids running full tilt at me from the corner of my eye. Obviously, I was next. Not that it's terribly difficult to outwit young kids, but I just jumped out of their way at the last second. All three of them ran straight into the pool at full speed. Most of the other guests, including my wife and me, started laughing, but their moms, who I mentioned were pretty shit-faced, absolutely freaked out. Apparently, two of the kids couldn't swim, even though they were in swimsuits. Since I wasn't in swim gear, I stepped back from the pool, and I let other people fish the kids out. The kids were bawling their heads off, like they'd lost a limb. At that point, all hell broke loose. The four drunk parents were yelling at everyone in general, and me in particular, for nearly letting their kids drown. And also because two of the kids had been videoing the trick using their parents' iPhones, which were now at the bottom of the pool. Oh. One of my brother-in-laws got into the pool to try and retrieve the phone, but his body mass index and his blood alcohol level made that impossible. No one else volunteered to help, unsurprisingly, given that my sisters were still bitching at everyone. I told my sisters that it was their job to watch their kids, and that if anything happened to them, it had been their responsibility, not mine. There were some pretty strong words on both sides. Wife and I left after the brother-in-law fell over and face-planted while yelling at us. Now they're saying I should have let the little shits knock me into the pool and have their fun and ruin my phone. So am I the asshole? Side note. Dad, of course, never got out of the whirlpool.
That's a real grandpa. Shout out to his dad. That grandpa's was like, nah.
Yeah, that was his dad,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Grandpa was on it.
That ain't my business.
Stay in the whirlpool.
None of my business.
I got my beers. I got my whirlpool.
Shout out to the grandpa, dude.
So, I mean, I feel like I was.
You were spot on. That's why I was like. He was like, if they couldn't swim or if the parents were like not paying. What did you say?
Why didn't you stop them?
Yeah, or like, I'm like, well, I guess we don't need to read the story anymore.
I'm like, there's literally no other reason why you'd be asking, like, why am I the a-hole in this situation? Because you're just like, no, this. Kids jumped in the pool because we was playing at the pool. Mm-hmm. Why else would you be mad at somebody getting in the pool?
Right.
Like, but it's just still like the parents are just they hosted the party, right? The other parents of the kids that pushed them in?
No, I think it was at the parents' house.
Oh, okay.
So it was the whirlpool guy and his wife. OP's so. Dad. And mom.
And was his wife the one who got pushed in halfway?
No, it was just a neighbor.
Oh, a neighbor. Okay. Right. I thought I missed that.
Also, the fact that the neighbor got pushed in, like, and she fell on the stairs. I was like, wait a minute. Y'all just throwing her on the stairs and going bust her head open in the pool. Be like, all right, kids, we're playing a little too rough. Also, since when is it okay to just run full force at somebody at the pool?
You can't without, run at the
you
pool.
Can't
run
right. At the you pool, go. Yeah. The real ending of the story should have been, and then the kid slipped and busted his head open before he pushed me in. Like, am I the a-hole for letting that happen? Because I wasn't drunk enough to stop him.
I love how he was like, they can't swim. And I just walked away from the pool.
Yeah. Well, I'm not the lifeguard. What are you talking about? That's not my job.
I don't have swimwear. Like, also, I'm not going to save them.
I'm 100%
where, not. I'm assuming because the other parents were drinking. Were they not in the pool?
They were probably just out drinking out on the side of the pool.
So nobody else was in the pool already?
None of the kids.
Except for the dad at the whirlpool.
Yeah, I think they said there was like 20 people there. So there could have been people in the pool, but none of the people in the story.
I'm just like, if I'm out of the pool and somebody else is in the pool that these kids just fell in, they're first in line to save these kids. Like, I mean, unless
just swimming away,
right? Unless they're on like the other side of the pool and I can literally just reach down and grab them. But I'm like, hey, look, bro, you put yourself in this situation, you should not.
That's exactly, life lessons. Yeah.
The ramifications of your actions could now lead to the splashation of the poolation. You know?
Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Yeah, that was cool. That was cool. No, I like that.
Stephon Martin, everybody. Stephon Martin.
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, what do you add after that? But yeah, you're this welcome. Is So wait, so not only did he just like back off, they're all mad at him because he just let them like be in the pool afterwards, like sink or swim. Like he didn't do anything to help.
No, it was also
he didn't do anything.
But it was also because he let the kids push or fall into the pool, and then the phone got wet too.
Yeah.
And he should have stopped them by letting himself get pushed in the pool.
And having his phone being ruined.
Right. Well, that they weren't mad about that one, but you know, like
They, but that's what I'm saying. OP is like, so you care about your phones, but you don't care about my phone.
Right.
Yeah.
If the kid's running at me and I see it, I'm using the momentum, throwing them further into the, I'm not moving, I'm like, whoa! So I'm tossing them into the middle of the
Sam
pool.
Sam would toss them, and they would go and hit the other side of the pool. Like, they would still go in the water, it's just their face would hit the wall on the other side.
like a half dunk? Like, it's just like...
like basically, like if you dive in the shallow end, how you hit the floor, it would be like that, but against the wall. That's what Sam would do to them.
They get a poolside chair.
What's that Olympian game where you just like spin around as you have a ball and then you... Yeah!
Water shock put.
Shock
water
put. Ball. Yeah. Just shock putting kids across the pool.
100% shock putting. This is the best part of like messing with kids, because I'm like, I don't condone abuse, just pure abuse of kids. But when you can do something to them from them being a jerk and it doesn't hurt them, like they're still alive, this is the optimal situation. This is the best way. This is the perfect situation. That's why everyone laughed. Everyone was in on them. Like, hey, these kids are jerks pushing people into the pool and you get over on them?
Mm-hmm.
Nah, you're not the asshole. Maybe looking at them while they're drowning is a little...
Yeah, that's a little much.
Yeah. Unless someone was like actively trying to get to them. If you just literally watch them while they're going down, that's a little bit of an asshole.
Well, I think it also depends on how fast you step back from the pool. Like, I mean, it was just like, okay, this is my out. Like,
in my head, he's staring at them. They're like,
oh, they can't
and
swim.
Back.
He's like, nah, that ain't my fight.
I'm not even in the right way for that one. Yeah, that's
don't
all
save
you.
Her. She don't want to be saved.
At the end of it, it's like, if they were like...
No, toxic Brandon's coming out.
Joe people, you're like, hey, cut that out. They try to do wrong to me. Cut that out. Cut that like a C-section, like in this next story.
I thought he was gonna do it before when he was talking. The first time
I thought you were gonna do it like 2 minutes ago.
No, I wasn't, because I was so stuck on him starting something, and the way he was talking kept going like... His speech was going in a way that it seemed like he was going to do it. And I'm like, got anxiety from it. And then he didn't do it.
Brandon, what's a C-section?
I don't want to go into detail.
But you know what it is.
Necessary.
It's just another way to remove baby from
it. Cut open the abdomen. You cut,
cut it out. Like,
yeah, so that...
Yeah.
Just in case people didn't know.
All right.
It's gonna give you a description right here.
Of course it will.
Oh.
Am I the asshole for not staying with my wife during her C-section even after she asked?
Well, yeah, she asked.
I mean,
that's what you are. I don't know.
I mean, like, unless you were literally about to like pass out or like throw up or something, yes.
I would just pass out.
Even that too. I mean, like, I'm saying that if you were gonna pass out and like fall over and like interrupt the operation, like that's the only reason I'd be like, if you thought that was gonna happen. But like, if you otherwise, like, yeah, like, why would you leave?
Right.
Like, she got to go through it. Why can't you go through it?
All right.
So I don't think Steph can say things.
Yeah, maybe
story
don't talk
anymore. Steph keeps guessing the story, I think.
Like, down to a T. I'm like, did you read
I think he's writing the story.
I thought
that makes sense.
Yeah, he wrote
that email story. You sent me wasn't on purpose.
You just sent him all the stories.
She sent me the answer key. I got the receipts.
Man, I wouldn't have admitted that. You're on 100% win rate. Nobody would have known the wise.
I'm going to stop guessing. I mean, stop. Guessing.
Am I the asshole for not staying with my wife during her C-section even after she asked? I don't like the operating room, and at some point in my life, the hospital. When my ex-wife had her C-section, she had a complication and hovered between life and death for a long time. It was a horrible experience to feel so helpless. Currently, I deal with this in therapy. Several things have improved, but going into an operating room is a big no-no for me. When my ex had our second child, I was very nervous and she asked me to wait outside the operating room. When my current wife and I decided to try to have children, I made it very clear that I didn't care what her choice of delivery was, but C-section I would not enter. But I would stay by her side at all times except for operation. She agreed and eventually became pregnant. She decided in the middle of pregnancy that it would be a C-section, and I said that was fine, but I remembered my limitation. She understood and invited her mother to take my place. On the day of surgery, because she had a C-section, she asked me to come in with her because she wanted a moment of her own. I apologized, but that this was my limit and said I couldn't. She said, fine, I'll go with my mother then, and had a crying face. I tried to talk to her, but no avail, and my mother-in-law kept looking at me in a disgusting way. Anyway, I don't think it would have been a help, because I was very nauseous, and I definitely wouldn't have helped at all inside the operating room. Everything went well, and our daughter was born beautiful and healthy. I was already at the exit of the operating room waiting for them, and I didn't leave their side. Later, when we were alone, my wife said that I abandoned her at a vulnerable time and left her alone when she needed me most. I tried talking to her, but she said that now we need to focus on our daughter, but that she was disappointed in me as a partner.
Ooh.
Apparently, my mother-in-law told family members what I did, and now I'm being criticized. My wife and I have only talked about the baby, and this has been going on for a week now. Am I the asshole? Extra, in the case of my ex, it was a C-section in parts, mandatory, the first no, the second yes, and my wife's elective. Yes, in my country, C-section can be a choice as long as the pregnant woman is aware of the risks.
Somebody else want to talk first? Because, yeah.
I mean, I'll say from a woman's perspective.
Oh.
I really feel like I would still want somebody to be there with me. Like it is such a risky, you know, surgery, giving birth in general. And I don't know. I just feel like it would be so scary. And the person that I made the baby with, I would want them to be in the room. But I also understand where he's coming from, where he's like, I would literally faint. I would literally puke. But yeah, so I can understand wife's position. I also understand where he's coming from too, where he was like, I expressed this to you in the beginning, and it sounds like it was a choice that she wanted a C-section, and I don't know whether one is easier or less harmful on the body, so who knows, but I can see both points of view, and I feel like I understand the woman's perspective more, and it would take me a long time to be like, you did say that in the beginning, and I hear what you're saying, and Steph is going to argue with me because I can see it in his face.
No, I'm not. I'm gonna add the third perspective.
Okay.
The mother-in-law.
Okay.
the mother-in-law, I feel like, definitely had to do something with planting that in her mind a little bit. I mean, like you said, before you even said it, I was like, she's already hopped up on these hormones, like, and then even, like, postpartum depression is, like, a thing, you know? So I'm like, I feel like the mother-in-law was probably like, oh, he's not going to go in with you. And then as they're in the room, or maybe after the baby was born, it was just like, I can't believe he was never in this room, just like complaining the whole time. And she's probably like, you know what? Yeah, why wasn't he here? Like, I can't believe this. I feel like the mother-in-law definitely had, because then the mother-in-law was on like social media complaining to all the other family members and friends about how he wasn't in there. And I'm like,
I don't think that was right.
You're just evil.
I don't know. I think there's certain things that should stay in between your relationship, just because, say if this happened to me and Brandon, if this were ever resolved, but my mom knows about it still, she's still telling everybody.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it's like, then it's like, okay, well, actually, mom, we worked it out, so you can stop telling everybody that we're upset at each other or whatever.
Right.
But now she's told all these other people, so it's like now these people have a perception about Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, Brandon and I worked it out, yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. And then I think the other thing, too, is we really need people to comment on this one, people that are parents, to give their perspective, because none of us, we're just coming from, well, this is what I would do in the future, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, my only thing is, just from the trend of some of our last stories, it reminds me, because I've even come around on some of our past stories just based on your thoughts, Maddie, specifically. Like the one where the girlfriend paid for the vegan thing, or paid for the meal that wasn't vegan for her boyfriend. Like, is she the asshole for not doing that?
Oh, I think that was Sadia, right?
Yeah.
Sadia's was a really good point.
But that reminded me of, like, you set your boundaries in the beginning of the relationship. Like, hey, this is my boundary. I can't do C-sections. Mm-hmm. That's the thing I can't do. And I'm telling you this up front. This is not something that came up the day of the C-section. This wasn't a week before. This was, he's saying, like, at the beginning of the relationship, I can't do this.
Or at least when they decided to have a child.
Right.
Before she was even pregnant.
Yeah, least at that point. So this is something that's known. When we get to that point and you decide to get a C-section, And then I repeat to you, this is something I can't do, but I'll be there right after. That's the only reason why I'm like, I don't know. I get the fact, because I think she's angry in the moment. I think it is a lot of hormones and emotions why she's like that. The mother-in-law made it worse by dragging out. But I'm like, I think that's her perspective at that moment. This huge thing happened. My body was attacked and cut into. I'm going through a lot, so I can be angry in that moment. But going forward, I'm like, you can't be mad at this when I expressed this to you early on in the relationship. So I'm like, respecting those boundaries is what we like to preach here at Comfortable Podcast.
Wait. I was saying this to Brandon earlier. You can be mad and you can have these expectations that I'm supposed to be sorry. Like, oh, you know, I'm sorry I didn't come for the C-section. But when you find yourself single because you didn't respect my boundaries, that's on you.
Well, let me say this. Because there was one time where Sam said that when he was in a relationship when he was younger, and this might have just been between the three of us when we were hanging out and talking.
Yeah, if it's
you said,
you gotta cut it out.
No, you said when you were, he said, I'm Maddie, I have the power to cut now.
Yeah.
You said that when you were in relationships when you were younger, you were very by the book. And as you got more and more into relationships, you realized that even if you set a boundary or be like, this is what it is, there were some things where it's like, okay, you know, that rule's got to slide. Or if she's like, I don't remember what your examples were, but it was like her being like, I want this.
Yeah.
And you're like, I met that. And she's like, well, I want more. And you're like, you didn't say that. You can't be mad at me. So I'm not necessarily saying anything's wrong, but I want to bring up in this situation of like, yes, with the vegan story, I think that he should have respected her boundaries with this story. I understand where he's coming from, but is this, and I'm not saying it is, but is this one of those stories where it's like, it's a blurred line because it's not cut and dry. It's like somebody's having a baby and she's doing it by herself.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I feel like it's different this time because with the vegan story, it was like, that was like personal preference. She's like, I'm not buying meat because I just don't believe in doing that. This had trauma to it. Mm-hmm. And when trauma gets involved, it just becomes way worse than it needs to be. Like, who knows what could have triggered if he was able to sit there and watch, like if all those past memories would just come back. And it's like, while she's dealing with postpartum, he's actually dealing with just regular, like just depression in general, because he's going back to that time when he had to make that choice. And it's like, I feel like for him, like him being able to communicate that in a way made him super strong. But it was like, hey, I'm just telling you, I cannot go in there. And then the fact that he was like, I need to stay steadfast behind this because I don't know what's going to happen afterwards. And he was already feeling nauseous. But it's like, to do that, to tell your partner multiple times beforehand, right before it happens, and then to actually do it, but like still be supportive at the end of the day. And then just to get that thrown back in your face.
But that is a good point. I forgot about the trauma associated with it. That's a really big thing.
I was going to say, can we all agree that like her doing it like kind of at the hospital and like right after the birth is understandable? Like her being upset.
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest part of the conversation is like, how do they handle this situation going forward? How do they recover from it? If we completely erase the mother-in-law even being involved, like if the mother-in-law never even got the family involved telling everyone else, like, I think the biggest question is, like, how do those two move forward, right? Not just, like...
Yeah, because at the end of the story, they're saying, like, they only talked about the baby for a week after, like...
Like, that's all they were only talking about.
That's where I'm like, okay, you were angry in the moment. We had a beautiful baby. You're healthy. We're fine. I know you're angry at the moment. This is something we truly need to move on from because I didn't do anything wrong.
Mm.
So if you're going to, like, hold this over me for the next week. And I don't know if that was a combination of the mother-in-law saying stuff, but you're my wife. I'm not worried about them right now. I'm worried about you. And you're being different to me now because of this, of something that I communicated. That's a problem.
To be fair, well, I think, yes, yes, as far as what you're saying, but I think also a little bit of no. I think there's a little bit of yes in there because it's like, okay, we need to at least try to have a conversation like a week afterwards, but she's still hopped up on hormones during that like week afterwards.
For
so,
months. I feel like months afterwards.
So it's like,
I don't know.
But hormones doesn't stop you from being
and that's what I'm saying.
Good
I think,
partner.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think there's like levels depending on, I mean, each pregnancy is gonna be different between each and each and every individual woman. So it's like, I think it's important to say hey, we need to have a conversation about this, like adults and like partners, but at the same time, understanding like, okay, there's still hormones involved. Yeah. So just because we're going to have a conversation doesn't mean it's just going to go like, you know, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize. Like, right. It's not going to go just so simple and easy. It's still going to be like, okay, I have to come in with the understanding that she's different because of her hormones at this point in time.
And not only that, but he went through trauma, right?
Yeah.
The situation of her giving birth in general is traumatic. Mm-hmm. Right. So now she has a trauma and she didn't have somebody there to support her, which isn't, he wasn't in the wrong for that. So I think the only thing they could do is go to couples therapy to work through their issues, because now they're both defensive in a way, because he's like, no, I was there for you in every other aspect. And I'm going to read this comment here, because this is something that, because I was thinking, I was like, okay, if he is going to, why can't he just be in the room but be above the surgery? But there is somebody who says, not the asshole, I work labor and delivery. Traumatic births are very traumatic. The sights, sounds, and smells of the OR will trigger any PTSD in a jiffy. Number two, we absolutely don't need a third patient in the OR or a fourth if you're having twins. Okay, yeah, so this next comment, this one was interesting too. All these fools voting you're the asshole clearly haven't been involved in many C-sections. It's really not helpful when the dads freak out. We don't let the support person in the room in until after the patient is prepped, the timeout is done. They walk in right as the incision is being made and can be a lot. So I read that and I was like, oh, okay. Because before I was like, why can't he just be in the back while you guys are like doing everything? But if you're walking in right as you're seeing everything happen and you're already squeamish, you're seeing the belly cut open and everything, I think that can be a lot too.
Yeah, that's why I would agree that he's, I don't think he's the asshole.
No. I don't think he's the asshole either.
Mother-in-law though.
Yeah, that's because those in-law relationships are tough. And then you put in a stressful situation. It's really rough. Actually, to find a good in-law, you would certainly have to hit the jackpot. Like the next story.
I was waiting for it. I was going to say that.
I knew that the jackpot was next to you. Yeah.
Am I the asshole for not wanting to split my jackpot win with my husband's friend?
Nope.
Wait.
Now that's a Sam response.
Yeah. Wait, what was the one dude who was in the hotel room on the vacation?
Carl.
This Carl.
The lottery stories was a wife had like won the lottery and she didn't want to share with the husband, so she divorced her husband. She didn't tell him. And then they got to divorce and so she wouldn't have to split the money. And then I don't think he knew about it at the time, and he found out later, and then he sued her like years later, got half the money.
I heard of that one.
And I'm like,
City boys up.
Oh my God. Am I the asshole for not wanting to split my jackpot win with my husband's friend? I, female 30, played the lottery for the first time last year when everybody was talking about the Powerball jackpot. Since then, I played casually, only spending a few dollars a week. I occasionally won a few bucks.
That's not casual.
You're playing every week. That's not casual.
That's religious.
Yeah.
I occasionally won a few bucks and never really expected to win anything big, but it was nice to dream as I had a ton of debt and had been struggling a lot. Fast forward to a few months ago. Won't say the month for privacy. I checked the winning numbers one night against my ticket and it matched with the numbers perfectly. Initially, I didn't believe it, and I thought it had to have been a mistake. So I told my husband, male 35, and we checked it like a dozen times, and I was right. We won.
That's facts.
That's applause.
It's life-changing, multi-generational, fuck you money.
What?
I guess she's going to have sex with the money?
I guess so.
Wait, what?
Scrooge McDuck paper over cuts. Here.
Nope. We instantly agreed to keep the news to ourselves and wait a few months before we did anything. The past few months have been an incredible high, filled with disbelief, and though it's been difficult, we have managed not to make any large purchases or change our lifestyle. We fantasize about what we would do with our money, but the time to claim is drawing near, so we have begun having more practical conversations about how to claim it and what to do with it. While discussing, my husband Adam brought up that he thinks it'll be a good idea to split the money with his best friend slash business partner, Tim.
Tim and Adam. Not the names. Dropping names out here.
Tim and Adam have been friends since they were in middle school and have done everything together ever since. Together, they've started businesses, worked together, invested money, moved to the same town, and have often dreamed about our families making it big together. Since we have to take risks together and are so close, Adam feels it's fair to give them a third of the cash prize so that, one, we are not going on this journey to a new life alone. Two, it's suspicious to make all this money suddenly and more easily explain if Tim makes money as well since we do everything together. I honestly feel it's risky to share that we have come into this money with him because Tim's family tends to be more flashy and likes showing off, and I don't fully trust that they will keep it quiet or be modest enough to not raise suspicion. This is important because I've seen community members harass and attack people with far less money just because they feel entitled. This could jeopardize our safety, so I want to avoid it at all costs, if possible. Also, I'm not really comfortable with his plan to add Tim and his wife as members of our LLC to claim the prize, because I think it could have them feel entitled to a bigger chunk or take the money. Adam thinks I'm being flashy and he won't enjoy our new wealth if his friend isn't living the same lifestyle, but I think we could find a way to later give them some money after figuring out a way to explain how we came into this money without telling them we won the lottery. No idea how to do that yet. Anyway, am I the asshole for not wanting to tell them we won the lottery and split the money? Am I selfish?
Wait.
So, dang, her husband's really got her convinced that she's selfish.
I'm so confused. Wait, the whole story. The story doesn't make sense.
Wait. How is anybody going to figure out that you have the money? You just also, why did they not claim it like immediately and just throw it in a bank account? Like, unless somebody's checking your bank account, how are they going to be like, oh, look at this money you came across? Like,
well, I think there's a way to do it because normally if you just went to go claim, you would be known. Like, most people get a lawyer first and the lawyer advises you how to get this, to get anonymously claim it without it getting posted. Right. I don't remember all the rules, but I feel like there is different things where you can do it. Some most dumb people just go and get it and then they're in the news and then everybody knows. So
that, I'm saying though, still, like, why wouldn't they do that and then just hold on to the money and then decide, okay, how are we going to, or are we just going to put this in the bank account and just hold on to it and then not change our lives at all and just be like, oh, won the lottery, just have some money. Like, I'm like, I understand the point where it's like, okay, should we give it to the friend? And that's where it starts becoming more the chance of people figuring out. But I'm like, you can't, your friend won't even be mad at you if you're not even, they don't even know. Like, they don't even know you won the lottery. Like, it's in a bank account.
But I think,
like,
it eventually would come out. Somehow, how are you going to keep that you won the lottery away from, no one will know?
If they really are true to what she says and she's like, we're not really changing our lifestyle at all, like.
No, I don't trust the husband. This friendship is crazy to me, like, how close they're. I guess not crazy. There's people that close. But I'm like, I don't trust he's not going to tell. He's like, bro.
He probably already told him.
He 100% didn't tell him. That's why he's coming back to the wife now, because the friend was like, hey, can slide I some of that money? So he's coming back. He's like, hey, we should give some money because I owe him money. Mm-hmm. He has dirt on me. The friend has dirt on the husband, and he's like, we have to pay this.
No, man. No, the husband cheated.
Yeah.
That bachelor party was a little crazy.
Hey, okay, I see.
Yeah. If any of us wins the lottery, the other one gets to blackmail the other one for the money. Because I thought it was going to be...
lottery has people in a chokehold.
I thought it was going to be one of the, like... Because I used to work at a gas station when I was younger, and people come in the lottery, and they always go, like, hey, when I win, I'm going to give you $10,000 or $100,000. Yeah. And then they were like, am I the asshole for not actually doing that? I think you kind of are. I'm like, don't say it. I never expected to be a part of this. So you saying that for no reason, I didn't ask you, you're being a jerk if you don't follow through.
Your
I
thought that's bond. What
the story was going to be.
Yeah. Well, okay, also, like, if your spouse was like, let's give this money to my best friend.
I say no.
Like, Brandon, I'm sorry, but if you said that about any of your friends, I'm like, Brandon, no.
100%.
Brandon, how dare you?
No, because I'm listening to that, and I'm just like,
with me,
I'd be like, lottery. Hey, I might give you a nice gift.
Brandon.
Right.
That's cool.
How dare you not share with me the lottery money?
What number did you put into his lottery?
Actually, that's a good question. So it would be a situation for us, this podcast, us three, mm-hmm. and Brandon did win. No, actually, Maddie wins.
Yeah.
And then Brandon's like,
that's my cousin.
That's my cousin. We're on the podcast. We're like a little trio here.
I gotta.
Should we?
Gotta give him some.
You would say no?
A third of the money, yeah. I would probably give you a nice gift or give you something, yeah.
I would say no. That's she, like, I'm not even mad because I'm like, I Maddie, would never expect.
I wouldn't give. Maddie, I would never give you a third of the money. I would never expect any large sum like that.
No
but,
portion.
But that's the thing is like, ugh, like getting that much amount of money. I'm like, I do want to like give to other you people wanna,
yeah.
And like be able to like bless your life. But also that's how you lose the money is because you're like, oh, I just gave it to all of my close friends and family over time.
And I think it matters how much because they're saying they won like the jackpot.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say it's $100 million.
Woo!
If I won that, I would I would give you $500,000. I'm not giving you a third. I would give you $500,000 right. is a large amount of money.
Yeah,
that's
not
a
even close
amount.
To a third, and you would be happy. Why do you need a third?
You don't even know how much I got.
You didn't contribute to this.
Exactly.
I play this religiously.
I would give
this
you.
This is my job.
I would give you one of those SpongeBob ice cream things. The ones
oh
that
my,
never look
the
right.
Melted
the
ones.
Melted ones.
Oh,
no. I wouldn't even give you the Spider-Man one that looks right oh normally. I would give you the SpongeBob.
That's
one.
Really messed up.
No, I would give you at least the fridge of it. Like, hey, how much for just a fridge of this popsicle? Okay, there all you right. go. See that?
That's you know
you,
what, Brandon?
But you don't tell him that you won the lottery. So he's like, what did you buy? This is a weird amount of money of just ice cream you bought.
He's like, is he in love with me?
I think he's
right,
in love
that's
with
facts,
me.
Man. Yeah. I'd give you two.
If someone just came with two. A fridge and you didn't know they won the lottery, it'd be so weird.
Like, if I tried to give you $100,000 or $500,000, you'd be like, Maddie, why are you being weird with me? And then you'd like deny it. I'm like, Sam, I'm trying to give you money.
I'm like, you did the drop shipping
this
thing.
This is blood money. This is something
you
right here.
You did the
like,
drop shipping
Brandon,
thing.
Brandon, convince your I did drop she shipping. Did the drop and it was successful like, and I want you to sign up for my
like,
course.
This is the money. I'm like, dang it. She did that.
Just be under me. You don't have to do anything.
Those
just
5 hours were a failure.
But good for you.
Okay.
I would just assume that you signed up on a website that had a lot of fans on it.
Me?
Anybody who came with me with money like that to me, I'd be like, oh.
$500,000, you're not. I don't think that's the I mean, average, what's it called? Accountant.
Accountant, yeah.
Yeah, accountant money that they're making. They're not making 500. Because they have to make more than 500K because they're giving you 500K.
Right.
So they're going to have to be making millions of dollars.
Hey, some people.
Yeah, some people.
Some people.
Wasn't Amaranth making like $1 million a month at one point?
Who?
Or more. The girl with the red hair that did all the hot tub
streams.
Oh.
She did a few episodes with H3H3.
I think.
I just knew like the Catch Me Outside girl was making.
I heard about her and like Tana Mojo
yeah.
whatever.
But I don't think your average person's jumping on.
Oh, no.
Like,
but like I would assume that like that's what. People would have done if they gave me like if they came to me with a bunch of money. I'm like, listen, there's two options here. It's
the
lottery, the
only two options.
Or yeah.
So go ahead.
You go ahead.
I was just gonna read the top comment.
Okay, go ahead.
Not the asshole. Call an attorney and a financial advisor. Keep the money out of your husband's business.
Oh,
next
yeah.
comment.
Mm-hmm. Facts.
Put everything in order. What will happen to the money or any investments coming from that in case of divorce, death, etc.? Besides that, pay off debts and think about long-term investments, like maybe going back to school to get into a more lucrative career so you're solid in the future no matter what. Also, charity is one thing, and if I would win, I would donate some money. I donate for medical research every month already, but that can be handled discreetly and think about what's closest to your heart. But most importantly, take your time and be careful.
Hmm.
And rent out a movie theater.
Yeah. It probably
just do it once.
Honestly, it probably doesn't cost that much.
Rent out a movie theater. Have the same movie playing. No, actually have all the Fast and the Furious movies on each screen and you just cop from.
Oh, you meant the
theater
whole
theater,
not just.
No, not yeah, not just a screen, the entire theater. And then have different movies that you want and then just watch 10
you
minutes.
You could probably get a corporate discount. Run.
Dude, at that See? Point though, like, you know, you're talking about the friend asking for money. You're going to need some money.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe
what?
Some fundraising
like
too.
What?
Like this next
like what?
Okay, I'm going to reset the cameras really quick.
Okay.
Am I the asshole for humiliating my friend at my fundraiser because she outed me? I was at a fairly large fundraiser I organized tonight, and it got completely ruined by my ex-friend. Let's call her Jenna. I'm quite open with my friends about my line of work, sex work, but I'm not with my family and those I don't know well. During the event, I was talking to a group, and Jenna blurts out, she can donate so much money because she makes so much making porn. I was stunned. It became incredibly awkward. I pulled Jenna aside and asked her, what the hell? She said it wasn't a big deal. I told her it is a big deal to me, and it's not her information to share. She tried dismissing it, and I got angry. I told her to leave. It became a heated argument. After some back and forth, I told her that at least I work for my money, and I don't need a rich partner that I don't love to get the lifestyle that I want.
Mm-hmm.
That is true. She told me this in the past. She's only with her boyfriend because he's rich. She still refused to leave and continued to cause a scene. Eventually, I called security and had her kicked out. After the event, I checked my phone. The argument we had got recorded, but only partway through, so the bit about my work is missing, but there is the part with what I said about her partner and her being kicked out. It had been shared within our circle a lot. Jenna has blown up my phone. She's furious. Apparently, her boyfriend saw it and broke up with her. She told me I humiliated her and ruined her relationship. Am I the asshole?
Hold on, wait. How did the phone caught this?
Somebody, they were having such a heated argument. Someone started recording.
On TikTok, they're like,
right.
Go crazy on TikTok.
Wait. No, because literally this conversation was, hey, you shared my business. I don't like that.
Right.
Whatever. No. You shared my business. I don't like that. Whatever. Listen, and then I start coming at you, and then now it turns into a heated argument because you wouldn't even validate what I was trying to tell you. And then it's just like, I didn't even record it. I didn't put the information out there. Somebody else did that. If you had tried to talk to me instead of dismissing me, this probably would have never happened. Like,
or if you left when I told you to leave, because I did tell you
right,
to leave.
Right, or something like that. Like, this is basically your fault. Like, I didn't even go out there and specifically. Sure, did the person go out there and say something that, like, you told them and didn't expect them to say out loud? Yes, but that's also what you did to them. Yeah. And they try to confront you and you just dismissed it? Like, unless there's more to the story. I'm just like, how? You didn't even actively do anything to humiliate this person.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
speaking facts.
Hey, just because since they said this to all these people I'm trying to get funds from, I just wanted to let you know. She did. No. Yeah, that's not how it happened. Yeah. Like,
only way you get out of this is by like scheduling a boxing match.
Right. Or the other person should have just, you know what? I see what you're saying. Maybe I shouldn't have shared, or at least I'll listen to you.
Yeah, because the personality that they're describing, it seems like that person who probably knows they did something wrong, but they don't want to admit it, so they just go twice as hard. I'm not leaving. I didn't do anything wrong, and just keep dragging out, and then it comes back on. Right. Well, because if you're already saying, yeah, I'm only dating my boyfriend for his money, you're a specific kind of person.
Right.
So you deserve everything.
It's probably your personality. Yeah. Probably not the greatest that... This is another thing where you can't take no for an answer. You don't know how to leave.
Right. And that's what I'm like, unless there's more to the story, because this is a one-sided story. Yeah. So I'm like, unless there's more to the story we don't know, I'm like, there's no argument here. Like, what?
Because I'm trying to think about if I was the boyfriend and I saw this video, would I just, I would have to see some kernel of truth in it for me to just break up with it.
Yeah.
Like if someone just said, my girlfriend that I love, then I'm like, I wouldn't think she's like that. If I saw that, I'm like, you know, I'm going to break up with her. You're like, no, I've probably thought something like this before. This confirmed it. I'm out.
When the check come to the table, she said, she's hiding her purse underneath.
Because I want my girl to be like,
right.
I'm like, baby.
We'd be fighting over the bill. Give it to me. Give it to me. Don't give it to her. Give it to me.
And she's like, oh.
Comes to the table. She said, give it to him.
I don't want to go to the 5-star restaurants.
Right.
3-star in nowhere makes me sick. But you have to pay.
And there has to be a Chanel nearby.
So then these people are the complete opposite of the next people in the story who don't have money.
Ding.
I just want to say that it says not having money. But
same thing.
We'll allow it.
That's pretty much the same thing.
We'll allow it.
Am I the asshole for
it's
pretending?
It's Maddie's game, so we just have to do whatever Maddie says.
Oh, you're right.
She has the button.
Shoot for it. Ball doesn't lie.
Yeah, shoot for it.
What?
Shoot for it.
Fine.
Ball doesn't lie.
Ball don't lie. Shoot for it.
Oh.
Oh.
Swish.
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 Ball doesn't lie.
Ball the don't net.
Lie. I'm just saying swish. Yeah. I don't get muted. Yeah.
Swish.
Swish.
We're all saying brick. And it sounds like swish.
Clearly saying brick. Am I the asshole for pretending I don't have money so my family won't bother me?
I'm going to say no, though, because I be lying to my sister all the time. Like, hey, can you go pick this up from the store? Like, I ain't got nothing. I'm just saying.
Because the most frustrating thing with family is their only reason is because they're family. That's the only reason. They didn't do anything for you. They're just like, I'm just your family, so that's my reason for asking. No, yeah. I ain't got no money. I'm broke.
We have a shared bank account just because we're blood. Yeah.
Like, like, that ain't the case.
You got my blood. I got we're your like, bank account. Yeah.
Go do a fundraiser or something.
Yeah. Like our next previous story. Like our previous story. Let's go back to it.
My wife, 52 female, and I, 51 male, recently retired with $4 million in savings. $1 million of which is in our home. I'm a systems engineer and my wife was an RN. I still work part-time slash contact, but less than 20 hours a week, and my wife is fully retired. We are very frugal people and try to save where we can. I've also made it clear to my wife to never tell my family we have money and to pretend that we are dead broke. Her family knows we do well, but they never ask for money. My family won't stop asking for money. My mom, dad, and brother are terrible with money. My dad and brother both work in oil and gas, which results in a few fat years of tons of money coming in, followed up with layoffs. Not saying that the layoffs are their fault, but they never save anything, so they run up credit cards to pay for everything. My parents have borrowed against their house so many times, they effectively haven't paid anything towards the principal, and they have had that house for 35 years. Dad, they should be retired but can't, and my dad recently had to go back to work as a school bus driver because they have so much debt and no money. My brother inherited their spending issues and has his own alcoholic struggles. He's currently going through his second divorce. I didn't tell my son not to tell his grandparents we recently retired, and they found out from him recently and have been calling me livid because we pretended we were broke for years. But clearly, if we can retire, we have savings. I didn't tell them because I know the results are them asking for money constantly. They have on several occasions when we went on vacation and they found out via Facebook. We have since learned not to post. And came knocking for money. We lied and told them we won some money but had spent it all on vacation. Am I obligated to help them? I don't feel like I am because both my parents and brother made lots over their career, but my dad is in his 70s and still working. I'm sure they're contacting me to ask for money, but am I the asshole if I continue to pretend that I have none? Not sure how I'm going to do that now since I know that we're semi-retired.
Okay, first off, am I confused by a story where they said there was $1 million in their house?
Yeah.
Is that like physically... like $1 million cash in their house, or do they mean like
their house is worth?
How do you think they're like dead broke and they got $1 million house, or at least a house that looks pretty nice like that?
Well, I mean, now houses like this, you can have a crappy house.
Oh my god,
$450,000. So
that is true.
The housing market is crazy.
But even still, like, if you
$1 million does show, like, that is,
yeah, like whatever house they're in. I mean, unless they're literally like. I guess they could be in like LA or something, or somewhere where it's like, all right, yeah, I got $1 million house. It's literally just like a shoebox. Yeah. Like, so depending on where they are, I'm like, I feel like if you had $1 million house and it was actually like not in one of those top tier high end cities where $1 million will get you the bathroom at McDonald's, I feel like people will kind of tell. Even if you are like in those cities and you got a bathroom at McDonald's, people are still gonna be like, oh, how did you get this house? Like, how did you, you know, move into where you are? So I'm like, either they weren't connected with their family because they just were trying to hide from the family that they had money. But I'm like, I think overall in situation, if your family is like being nosy in your business and you're like, I ain't got no money, like, I wouldn't lie to them. I would just be like, if you're not going to tell your family you got money, just don't tell them. But like, if they're like trying to, like, if they're asking about it,
you know, like, don't lie, but like, hide it. Does that make sense? Like, if they come to you and they're like, hey, I need some money, don't be like, oh, we broke. We all broke. We ain't got no money. Right. But at the same time, like, don't be like, to be honest, like, hey, look, listen, you spend all your money. I can't give you my money because you're going to spend all mine too. Like, be honest with them. And then if you need to, then be like, this is my tips for saving money. This is my goal. This is how I've saved up money. That doesn't mean you got to give it to them. But at the same time, they'll be like, hey, I'm broke too. like, why would you lie? It's not going to give you any situations. Are they the a-hole? No. But at the same time, like, I think it's like, there's, you shouldn't just be lying to your family either about like, I'm broke too. Like, because that's not going to provide anything in the end.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't, these people who can't say no to people.
Right.
Like, I ain't going to lie to you, but I'm not giving you any money. I have tons of money. You see my house?
Right.
You see this?
Right.
I'm living extravagantly. I have tons of money. I'm not giving you any. And this is why I've said it many times on this podcast, but my rule of letting people borrow money, it completely combats this. I told you up front, I will give you anything that you want if I have it, but I will not give you something again unless you pay me back. Mm. So I'm like, I paid you something. I gave it to you. We're done until you pay me back. And then, you know what? I'll help you again. But you're bad with your money. So I'm those kind of people, this is what the rule is made for. Because they'll always come back. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. They'll always come back. And you're just like, I got this rule. It's done. I got tons of money. I can't give this to you with the rule.
And that's why I'm like, give them advice. Tell them like, right? Hey, this is how you can get your dollars up.
This is how you
can you could cut off stuff in your life that you don't need so you can keep the money. Like,
especially if you're, because they're in their 50s and they're saying their mom and dad is like still
working.
They're 70s. In their 70s. Yeah. So I'm like, you're never learning. I'm not going to help you with this. Your learning days are over. So this is who you are. I'm not helping you.
Yeah. Right. I feel like the internal conflict that OP is having is like, you know, like seeing people that are well off taking care of their parents. So I would say, as far as family goes, it's to your own discretion. Like, I don't know. For me personally, I don't think I could. Seeing my parents work at 70 would break my heart. Because it's like, in the same sense, my parents
are different people.
Yeah, they're different. But they're also somewhat good with their money. So it's like, my thing would be, I would just like want, if I had it, you know, like just to have like a house to take care of them. So you don't even have to worry about a mortgage or anything like that. Like, you're living on my estate, which I'm paying for, or I've already paid off.
Yeah.
So it's like, that mitigates that. And then the brother, I mean, he's going through a second divorce, but he's still got life to him. Like,
get married again.
Yeah. No.
Find a rich woman.
Find a rich woman.
And hey, there's a boyfriend who just broke up with his girlfriend that's looking for a partner.
She broke, though.
No, he can get with the boyfriend.
Oh, okay.
You know, but
he got money.
You know, it's the whole if you give a man a fish rule.
He gets money.
Yeah. But they're too old. Right? You can't teach these men to fish.
Well, can't teach new dogs old tricks. Frail.
Can't do it. Just like, give me more fish.
Well, isn't he? He was in oil and gas.
Yeah, oil and gas.
So, okay. Well, he's got wear and tear on his body. But, hey, you got to figure it out. I would maybe give him, like, resources or something like, hey, this is the plan you should maybe follow. And it might help you within the next 10 years.
I will say the one thing for the brother, though, that I definitely would do is, like, because the whole alcoholism thing that he, I would pay for, like, getting him out of, not getting him, like, out of any trouble he's gotten himself into, but, like, getting any sort of, like, therapy or recovery. I would pay for that kind of stuff if he was actually, like, trying to go to it.
Yeah.
But, like,
just giving you money.
Right. No. And the same thing, like, yeah, I'd say, like, all right, I'll get the parents on an estate or something where they could live where they don't got to worry about all that. But I'm like,
because then at that point, if they're living on the estate with you, then they're only just paying off their debts and then spending money for themselves. Right. Like, I'm not going to give you the money because you live here. Just because you live here doesn't mean I'm going to give you any money.
Mm-hmm. No,
you don't have something to worry about paying. so you could pay the other stuff that you need to worry about paying. Mm-hmm.
Plus, I think if you actually own the house that they lived in, if that was like an actual solution, then if they were to ever go bankrupt and the banks were looking for the money because they were in debt, you're like, you can't take that house because they don't own that house. I'm mm-hmm. letting them live there.
Oh.
You know, compared to like if you gifted them a house mm-hmm. and they went bankrupt or the banks were like, we want the money from all this credit card debt, they would just take their house.
Yeah.
Well, because they have that house, you have a house for 35 years and it's not paid off.
Yeah, because it keeps being...
35 years?
That's crazy.
Most loans are 30 years. You have a 30-year loan. You can't pay in 35, five extra years to pay off. And you're like, no, it's the same amount.
We got probably more.
Well, no, they keep refinancing. So isn't it less depending on like the times?
Well, it depends. If you keep refinancing and your principal never actually goes down, because at the beginning you're only paying a lot of interest and you're paying a little bit of... a little bit of principal.
Sam, get out of my shot.
Oh, I'm in everybody's shot.
Not in mine.
The way I just need that clip of him just straight.
So top comment, asshole, but grow a pair. You're having your wife cut your hair so your family thinks you don't have money. I think that part was taken out. I don't remember that part being in there.
I don't remember it, but I like it.
Wait, what?
Yeah, you'll read later down. I think somebody told him to remove it, so I think that part was taken out. Not the asshole, but grow a pair. You're having your wife cut your hair so your family thinks you don't have money. Tell your family you worked hard for your money and you'll choose how to spend it.
Yeah.
I also hope your wife is actually as frugal as you are and wasn't trapped into this bizarre game you're playing. She deserves to be able to enjoy the fruits of her labor instead of hiding her financial status from her in-laws.
Right.
Next comment from OP. I don't have my wife cut my hair so they don't know I make money. I just have a basic cut and my wife has been cutting hair for nearly 30 years.
Oh.
Just a little bit less than how much they've been paying for the house.
Hey! Did you say that or did they say that?
I said that.
Okay, I was like, dang!
And then somebody else said, rephrase that bit of the story then, because it sounds like you're purposely having her give you a bad haircut. So he must have had a whole spiel about a haircut in there.
Yeah, that's the part I agree with. I'm like, even now, I'm 30 now, or 33 now. Someone
he finally reveals his age.
I've said my age.
You always lie about your age.
I've said my age before.
Wait. No.
You said you were 300.
Wait. No. Their mortgage. Same.
They've been paying his house as long as I've been alive.
That's not good for them. But that's good for Sam because he's 33.
But I'm like, no one can tell me how to spend my money. It's literally my money.
Right.
You have no right over my money. So you coming over like, you should use it on this. That's crazy to me.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the lottery story. You're not telling me how to use my money. It's mine.
Even if you're my spouse, why are you trying to tell me? Because she won, not the husband.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But it's half his.
That is true. But she could get a lawyer or something. I know he's still going to get a
portion
of it.
They could have split half. And just he splits from his half.
Mm, mm.
But that's dumb.
I think that was an option I read in the comments later on. Because they're talking about if you can't figure this out and you guys get divorced, he's going to get half anyway.
He's going to get half.
So just let him give the friend a third of his half.
Oh, but babe, listen.
Do you really want to do this? We can do this the easy way or the hard way.
It sounded like you were doing a song.
Do you really want to do this? Do you really want to do this? Do you really want to do this?
Wait,
if my wife sang this song to me, it would make me want to get hearing aids.
I'll use that one.
Do you really want to read this?
Am I the asshole for using my hearing aids to make someone look stupid?
Probably.
Did you hear what I said?
No, that's great.
Probably.
Huh? Alma, check your battery. Sister Act joke. Full circle. And that's what we call a callback. Have you played that? Did you add a sound?
Yeah, but it was when I did all of them at the same time. Am I the asshole for using my hearing aids to make someone look stupid? I, female 18, have moderate hearing loss. I lost hearing over the years with many ear-related incidents. I wear hearing aids to hear people talk sometimes, but I mainly use them at school. When I started my school year, I tell the teachers that I wear hearing aids, and they normally just put me next to their desk so I can hear them without the use of my hearing aids. In one of my classes, I have a girl named Lily. Lily likes to yell at people to get them to come to her instead of getting up to talk to them. No matter who tells her to stop, she won't. The teachers stopped trying to get her to stop a long time ago. In this class, we have to take notes. Lily missed notes the other day, and the teacher told her to find somebody with notes. No one near her wanted to give her the notes, so she chose me. I was on the opposite side of the room, and she began yelling at me. She had done this all year, and it was annoying. I didn't look at her. I just kept working on my other schoolwork. I wasn't going to give her special treatment because she was lazy. She has no mobility issues. She just doesn't want to walk to other people. She kept getting louder and more frustrated that I wasn't going to her. She yelled at me for 10 minutes before she stood up and walked over to me. She was very mad and saying that it was stupid that I didn't go to her and that she shouldn't have to stand up. And she very loudly said, "Are you deaf?" The entire class was watching us. I had no idea where the teacher was. I slowly turned to her before taking out the case where my hearing aids were and made a show of putting them in, and I very loudly said, "What?" She got very red in the face and then turned around and walked back to her seat. No one in the class knew I wore hearing aids because my hair covers them. My sister said that it was mean of me to do that to her because she didn't know that I wasn't wearing hearing aids and that I could hear her because she was very loud. So, am I the asshole?
No.
No.
That's funny.
That's peak comedy right there.
Good. That's hilarious.
Okay. Like, I thought she was just going to, like, just do something with the hearing. He's not putting him in front of everybody. Like,
that's
what?
So good.
But I'm like, I honestly, even without the hearing aids, and if this was happening all year long, I would have sat there too. And then when you came over shouting me, "Are you deaf?" I would have been like, "Oh, hello, you finally came to me." Like, I would have done something just as embarrassing. Like, well, maybe not as embarrassing, but like, I would have easily just sat there like, "You ain't gonna yell at me from across this classroom."
Like, because if I'm sure they're exaggerating, but they're like 10 minutes they were yelling, but they're yelling for a long time. Yeah, where was the teacher? The teacher's like, "Oh my gosh."
She's just in the bathroom stall. Lily.
Kill me.
Even as the teacher, I would have been doing the same thing. Like, I get the teacher after a while, she's like, "I'm just giving up." And even if, like, she never came around to, like, figuring it out. At the same time, you got the authority in the classroom. Like, you'd be like, "Hey, listen, no, stop shouting. No one's coming to you.
Lily, get up."
Lily. Even if she ever decided, she's not like, "Listen, Lily, you could either not get the notes, or you could go and talk to somebody who will give you the notes."
Stop yelling.
Mm-hmm. If you want to just not have anyone come to you, that's fine. But you're not going to yell at people in the classroom. Like,
either get up or get out.
Right.
Because you've probably been in the classroom where there's people like this who do something for too long. Like, it's funny the first time. You're like, Lily's funny. But then a weekend, you're like, "It's the same joke, Lily. You're going to keep doing this." So no one's messing with her anymore. Usually that takes them from stop doing it. But Lily's, "Oh, I'm determined. I will never walk in this classroom."
Right.
You will come to me every time.
And that's probably because teachers...
Peasant.
It's probably because teachers have enabled her to do that, like, throughout all of the different years, that she's just always like...
Oh. Not me getting bodied by a kid, man.
Like, right. Like, no, you got to be like, "Listen, I don't care what you do at home, but in this classroom, you ain't going to be shouting at me to come to you. You coming over here because you're not the princess."
Well, hopefully this is a lesson learned, though.
Right.
That Lily doesn't know who she's yelling at, and she should probably go talk to somebody in the first place because she just embarrassed herself.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
She got the.
Yeah, well, the sister sucks.
The sister, yeah.
Yeah, the sister, like. Bro, like, this, I feel like the story gives, like, this, there's, like, a feeling you get when, like, a certain payoff happens.
Yeah.
Like, when someone is speaking a foreign language and you just so happen to know that foreign language. Yeah, and it's like
this next story?
You love saying
we're
it
done
that
with
way.
Stories.
Like, this next story, this episode's never ending.
She got the jackpot of knowledge.
Oh!
Yeah.
But
she probably yell at her doctor while she's getting a C-section.
No!
after that, it costs a lot. So she did not have any money.
No!
And then she needed a fundraiser.
No! I think the episode's over.
I feel like we have to end there.
Brandon, what were? Can I end it?
Yeah.
Brandon, can we be done?
Yeah.
Can we? All right. Well, thank you guys for coming to the Comfort Level podcast. I can see that the transitioning is being used against me.
Yeah.
We have about 6 more stories to read, so we got to go to the next episode. So we'll see you there.
Catch all those stories in the next episode!
Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same-day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. It happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.